Chapter 3, Collision Prevention. In the last chapter, we talked about the risk of rollovers, which is related to tractor loads, speed, driving terrain, direction of travel, and tractor design. In this chapter, we're going to switch gears to discuss ways to reduce tractor collisions with other vehicles, often members of the local community crashing with tractors on roadways. We will highlight guidance that has been shown to reduce roadway crashes with tractors. So, first thing we want to discuss is lighting and marking. Our main engineering control to prevent crashes on roadways is to make sure the tractor and its implements that it may be pulling are visible to drivers on the road. First, tractors and their implements should have a slow-moving vehicle emblem posted visibly on the back of the tractor or the implement whenever it is on a roadway. This is a sign that is a triangle, point is upward, with rounded corners, and it indicates that the vehicle is moving slowly. Now, state laws vary in the speed maximum that requires the SMV symbol to be used. So if a tractor can only travel up to 30 miles an hour in Iowa, it has to have an SMV symbol if it is going to go on a roadway. This speed is 25 miles an hour in Ohio and Florida and 40 miles an hour in New York. So every state has slightly different limits of speed where an SMV symbol would be required. This sign must be centered on the back of the vehicle and should be visible at least 500 feet away. Heads up, Minnesota does require 600 feet. Over time, it's important to know that these symbols fade or become covered with mud, so maintaining the SMV sign does require some attention. When replacing the SMV sign, selecting those that have retro-reflective surfaces on the triangle will improve its visibility by a factor of 10, so you can see it much better and much further away. In addition to this SMV symbol, new tractors now have to comply with lighting and marking standards set by ASABE, the American Society of Agricultural and Biological Engineers, ASABE, and these standards have been adopted by the U.S. Department of Transportation. Retrofitting old tractors is not universally required, but studies do indicate that adhering to these guidelines does reduce tractor-to-vehicle crashes on roadways. These standards specify lights and reflectors and where they need to be located to signal the edge of equipment and hazards and stopping. So here are some examples of what the standard requires. It does require red taillights. They need to be symmetrically mounted on both sides on the back of a vehicle, indicating stopping and turning. It needs to have amber hazard flashers. Those are set as widely apart as possible on both the front and the rear of the vehicle. It needs to have turn indicators. Again, these are both amber and red, should flash to indicate a turn in direction. It also should have retro-reflective strips. So these are these reflective tapes that are put on the rear. It should be on the horizontal and in line with each other to signal the maximum width of the vehicle. Typically, we have red on an outer edge and 6 inches away, an orange strip just to the inside of the red. On the front of the tractor, these strips should be yellow so that as you're seeing the vehicle, if it's yellow, it's coming towards you. If it's red and orange, you're looking at the back of the tractor. These tapes reflect light back to the source and are 10 times brighter than previous materials that are not retro-reflective. Tractors should also have two headlamps on front to illuminate its path and increase its visibility from the front. So we're going to provide you with resources from the ASABE standard that illustrates these positions of these items on tractors, as well as implements being pulled by the tractor. So we've got to put stuff on the back of something that we may be pulling on a roadway. In addition to lighting and marking, we do want to share with you some roadway factors as to what has been found to increase farm crashes on roadways. Investigators have looked into whether farm vehicle crashes are more or less frequent when roads have more curves or more hills. What was found that road segments with 30% or more curviness had 1/5 the number of crashes between tractors and vehicles compared to straight segments. So it also identified that the risk of crashes on road segments with steeper grades, say 10%, had 40% fewer crashes on it. Since passing is when most crashes happen, These results probably mean that drivers are less likely to pass on hills and curves because that's when we see less crashes. So caution is definitely needed when driving on straight, flat road segments. And we'll give you some links to those papers in our references. Another factor to know about is driver behaviors and turning tractors. Tractors are more likely to be turning left when a crash occurs. Those are 27% of crashes. And other vehicles are more commonly trying to pass a tractor when a crash occurs. That's about 25% of crashes. An important note is that across all tractor vehicle crashes, the person driving the tractor is injured about 12% of the time, but the driver of the non-farm vehicle is injured about 28% of the time. It's the non-farm vehicle driver that tends to be more severely injured from these vehicle tractor crashes. Behavior associated with turning and passing needs to be changed for the general population as well as for the tractor driver. Signaling turns is critically important, particularly when making a left turn. Often a tractor pulls to the right of the road before making a left-hand turn, which other drivers on the roadway have interpreted very calmly as, oh, that nice tractor driver is moving over so I can pass. This is an expensive miscommunication. The best practice for drivers on rural roadways when you are following a farm vehicle is to look ahead on the road. If there is any possible left turn coming up onto a driveway, onto a road, simply assume that the tractor may be turning left and don't pass. Once you get to a stretch of road where there is no left turn coming, that is when you should consider passing. We've also looked at alcohol impairment in tractor vehicle crashes. Less than 3% of tractor vehicle crashes had an alcohol impaired driver. And it was slightly more often the other vehicle driver, 59% of the time, compared to the farm vehicle driver, 41% of the time, who tested positive for alcohol. So it's an important factor to consider. Surprising that 3% of these crashes do involve alcohol. Another trend to talk about is these other farm vehicle crash trends. Over a six-year period across 9 Midwestern states, data from over 7,000 farm vehicle crashes were analyzed. Very few crashes happen on the weekend, and only about 20% happened at nighttime. The most common crash was when the tractor was rear-ended, about 22% of the time, followed by a side swipe from the same direction, about 18% of the time, which is an indication that the non-farm vehicle was attempting to pass the tractor. Additional crash patterns included non-collision, so 16.9% of the time, so that's, say, somebody going into the ditch, an angled crash with an oncoming left turn, about 17% of the time, and a side swipe from the opposite direction, about 11% of the time. A clear seasonal pattern was identified. Harvest months, September, October, November, December, had the highest amount of crashes, about 750 a month. And the growing season, June, July, August, and planting season, April, May, had fewer crashes, about 650 a month. It is important to realize that January through March, even in the Midwest, dead of winter, typically is a low activity for tractors, but we still had about 276 crashes per month in the Midwest. In summary, what does all this mean? Well, we can recommend improvements in lighting and marking so that the tractor is more visible and less likely to surprise somebody who is driving on the roadway with it. And we do have evidence that having good lighting and marking and using turn signals, et cetera, does reduce the crash rate between tractors and vehicles. But we also know that we need to work with communities to understand the hazards associated with passing farm vehicles on rural roadways. And we also need to ensure that turn signals are available and used by tractor operators whenever making turns on roadways. Let's wrap up this quick discussion on collisions. I'll leave you with this discussion question. If you live in the Midwest, chances are you have been stuck following a tractor. Now that you know the risks of passing a tractor, to get back up to speed, describe practices that you want to adopt on the roadway for the next time you have to follow a slow-moving tractor in rural roadways.